This podcast is brought to you in part by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/wow. This show is also brought to your ability to go to frogpants.com/subscribe and for as low as $2 a month, contribute to the show. It's a great way to support Frog Pants shows just like The Instance. That's frogpants.com/subscribe.
Hi, I'm Mike Morheim from Blizzard, and you're listening to The Instance.
You are listening to The Instance.
Everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 306. I'm Scott Johnson, joined by Terpster. Hello, Terpster.
Hello!
Welcome
Hello.
Back. Welcome back. How
welcome,
are you?
Welcome back to you, Scott, as well.
Welcome back from the dead. You were not well last week.
I was close to the doorways of death. Mm. But then I thought, you know what? I can do this. And so I did a montage-like training sequence, but just with lots of different kind of bottles of medication.
You're simply the best. Or what was
chug
the song?
Some cold flu stuff. Popping some lemons and pills. You know, it's just like just doing it. It was brilliant. And all then right. Each time the camera would change, obviously, I would improve slightly as I was more heavily medicated.
Fantastic.
To the point in the end where, you know, I'm still not sure if I'm better, but I'm here. Mm. So hooray!
Yay! Yeah, you got the worldwide thing that's going around.
Yeah, I think I might have started it as well.
Ooh, patient zero, really? Wow.
Yeah, I could be.
Okay.
Because what I remember is kissing a load of air stewardesses and pilots.
Oh.
And I think they then spread it amongst the globe because you know what they say about air stewardesses and pilots. Mm. They travel a lot on airlines where contagions can spread. Contagions, exactly. A lot of people can find space traveling all over the place, yeah.
So hold on a minute. Yeah. You still call them, I don't mean to go down this road here, but you still call them stewardesses.
Well, I was probably being very, very antiquated with my terminology there.
Okay,
great. Air hostesses and flight attendants. There you go. That's the one. The flight attendant.
Yeah. Then it's gender neutral.
Who is attending this flight? I'll let you in on a little secret. Everyone on the plane is actually attending this flight right now. We're all on the same flight. It's crazy.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
Oh, that's good.
No, why don't they should change that. That's stupid now that I hear that. Because, yeah, we're all attending that flight. We're all flight attendants. That's stupid.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's like, no, but who is attending to the attendants? Mm. Oh, well, you want to see the flight attendant.
Yep.
And they will attend to the attendants of the flight.
Who's watching the watchers, right?
Exactly. But a flight attendant just becomes a far. And that's just a weird, you know, kind of, it just doesn't work.
Not really a word, even.
It's not even a thing, apparently.
No.
And yet that's what it would be.
Fantastic. So. Well, I'm glad you're better because that sucks and nobody wants to be down like that.
Exactly. So apologies to all the flight attendants and pilots I kissed and anyone who traveled and was ill.
Yeah.
So yeah, whoops.
Yeah,
sorry about
that. Oops, sorry. Better luck next time. Dills isn't here. We had to actually bump the show a full business day or a full Earth day.
Not even a business day. It was one day.
Monday. That's
it's
true.
Crazy.
That's true. So no show on Friday. Today's Saturday. We're doing a special show. By the way, it is Saturday, January 19th, 2013. Dills isn't here. Had plans. So we will muscle on without him. I got some breaking news. Beep, 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 beep. Breaking news, everybody. Jay Wilson, star of stage and screen and director of Diablo 3 for 7 years. Has stepped down as director of that game and has moved on to something else at Blizzard.
Ooh. Did he move on or was he moved on?
Well, I don't know. Is there still...
I don't know. The thing is, you got to look at... Like, Jay Wilson is like... He's a bit of a legend.
Mm-hmm.
He's done some very, very cool things. Dawn of War being like the coolest RTS game for many, many, many years.
Yeah, right up there.
And then, you know, D3's fantastic. It's got me through some very hard times recently.
Yeah.
When I've been, you know, so doped up. I couldn't play World of Warcraft, right, but I can click a mouse.
Right.
So I was playing a lot of Diablo 3 over the past few weeks. Mm-hmm. I think the whole Diablo team's done amazing. That being said, obviously, Jay said about, what was it, about the PvP.
Yeah.
I think he said, like, if PvP doesn't follow, like, after a month or two after launch, it should be about a month or two after we launch the game, right, and have PvP out. If it's not out, before the new year, then something's gone terribly wrong.
Mm.
And obviously, here we are in the new year.
Ten plus months later, PvP's PvP.
He's not there. I don't know. I imagine it is a case he's gone on to kind of bigger and better things.
Oh, but probably. I don't think this isn't Blizzard going, sorry, dude, some of that stuff went weird and you're out of here. I think some of it might just simply be you're 7 years at the helm of a huge, huge high-profile project that is just critical to everybody's bottom line, critical to the PC gaming industry in general. Maybe you're just a little burned out and you go to the top brass and say, guys, I need something else. I've kind of had it with, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm burnt. So they say, all right, well, we need some smart people on Titan, or we need some injection of whatever in WoW. And it does
I reckon we've got a new franchise though as well. I reckon this is something different again. I reckon if you're pulling Jay Wilson out, I mean, to be honest with you, I would love it if he was working on like Warcraft 4 or something like that, because he's done RTS.
Could be.
And he's done it impeccably well.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be making more than just kind of three games at Blizzard, or four games, I guess, with Titan. The mobile games aren't really going to count towards that number. And you've got to think that they're always trying to, keep things moving forward, keep the team going on. And Jay was saying, that he's going on to other projects and they're going to be actually looking externally to Blizzard as well for his replacement, which is quite interesting, actually.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's obviously, again, D3 is the biggest action RPG out there. It's one of the biggest PC games. And it obviously deserves for Blizzard to kind of search out and find the best talent around to lead that. But it'd be interesting to see how much the person at the top affects. He is the game director, but how much of the direction of the game is solely down to that one person or the team as a whole?
Right.
And I would worry. I don't think I really want to see a drastically different Diablo to what we have, especially the Diablo we have now, which is the best Diablo we've ever really had. So it's weird. I don't know quite what Blizzard wants from their game directors, I guess.
Well, maybe they want somebody. I mean, if he's truly just burned out and wants to do something new, let's say that's the line on this. Maybe they just simply want to keep things going the way they're going, and they need somebody, qualified enough to do that. The fact that they're looking externally for that replacement maybe goes against that a little bit, but not promoting from within. But I don't see any reason why they would make any giant shifts in direction or anything. And maybe it just was wrong. I mean, he's quoted as saying this is according to the Joystick article. Wilson made note of Diablo 3's bumpy launch and its subsequent woes. The development team doesn't always make, quote, the right decisions, unquote. Admitted, went on to say, quote, but if we made a mistake then, I feel like we've made an exceptional effort to correct it. That effort includes scads of additional items and changes to drop rates, as well as new monster powers and the Paragon system, etc. So he addresses at least that things have been a little bit bumpy. And there was that big fart out on Facebook, that whole deal where the Diablo 2 director guy made some comments and he kind of lashed out at him. Those are probably signs of a guy who's spent 7 years of his life dedicated to one thing, and then to take so much heat at launch, probably, that'll wear a guy out.
Mm.
If it were me, I could see this. I could see wanting to move on. But
I just think, Dustin's still doing StarCraft.
Yep.
Chilton's still doing Warcraft.
Yep.
It's not that common in Blizzard for people to move off of projects.
Yeah.
And it, either you can read it as like, great job, Jay. We're going to put your talents to even better use now on this brand new franchise or this brand new title. Because as far as we're aware as well, there's going to be Diablo 3 expansions.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still, it's not like there's not really a huge amount of work left on Diablo. There's two more games, at least, I think.
Yep.
So that then comes down to, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how things all come out. As long as, at the end of the day, the quality of the product doesn't change, then obviously fantastic.
Yeah.
Good job, everyone. And also, if we get Warcraft 4 out of this or something like that, then I'd be happier still.
Yeah, that's where he's headed, and we find that out. That'd be awesome news. This is just a little bit different than, say, Jeff Kaplan moving over to Titan. That was a... Everyone hail the champion hero as he moves from his great accomplishment to his next one. This is more like, well, we don't know really why he's getting moved out of there, or if it's him, if it's them, or what the deal is. It's just a little bit more nebulous, and I hope the best for both teams, whatever he's working on next, and then, of course, Diablo 3. What I don't want to see have happen is have him just get nestled into the, let's say, the StarCraft team. Because, you know, the RTS experience is a big deal.
Yeah.
But to have him just kind of move over there in a less substantial role would be a little sad.
To be honest with you, or if they brought All-Stars, Blizzard All-Stars, into its own thing and didn't treat it as a StarCraft expansion but as a standalone title. Again, I mean, the MOBA space is so huge and deserves, you know, a massive investment of time and people. I'd be equally as happy to see him at the helm of Blizzard All-Stars.
Right.
Really Blizzard, really investing in that space, because Dota 2's phenomenal. I've been playing it recently. Mm-hmm. League of Legends is great. You know, they've got to compete against such kind of, you know, really polished titles. I've learned so much from Blizzard and how they do it. I think Blizzard All-Stars deserves at least to be given as fair an opportunity and have a proper, you know, dev team behind it.
Yeah, well, they're clearly doing more with that than they ever originally intended to. So we'll see how that project turns out. Maybe he'll be working on that. Who knows? But fair weather, Jay Wilson. May the wind be to your back at whatever you do next. And by the way, I was just reminded as I was reading some of the comments on this Joystick article, there's still a lot of just weird hate.
a lot of angry people on the internet.
And they just come out and say things like, they just get all sarcastic, like, oh, they feel like they've corrected mistakes they've made? How about the big one where you can buy equipment online and sell your stuff for real money? How about that mistake? And it's like, everyone just calm down, take a breath.
I saw an Era 37 joke the other day, and I was like, really? Up about Era 37?
Did he turn right around and tell a joke about an arrow being in his leg or something? Or?
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like I should have responded about last time I laughed so hard at an Era 37 joke, I fell off my dinosaur. You know, it's like, it was just like, really?
Yeah.
But still, you know, it's the internet.
Something about that old joke that you just told is fresh and funny now, whereas the Era 37 joke is not.
Yeah.
So there you have it. All right. Well, anyway, that is going on. I am excited to let everybody know I'm back rating. So I rated Monday night, had to bail Wednesday for a show, but played Monday night, and that's interesting when you've gone about 3.5-4 months without any real raiding. I mean, other than, you know, some dungeon stuff
here. The fridge. Yeah, about to say, I bet you don't raid much these days.
Right. It's not much. And even raiding, like, you know, even LFR is still not really raiding. It's kind of just, you know, run in there and kill things.
It's like people who do like airsoft or I don't know, like battle reenactments.
Yep.
And then being like, yeah, you know, I'm in the army. Like, right. Not really.
Not really.
You know, sort of. I'm sure. No, you understand the principles. No, definitely. You do. Definitely.
Yeah.
I totally get that. And, you know, I'm sure it's, you know, but it's not really combat, is it now?
No.
But yeah, so cool.
Lots of fun. Dills is in there. We got through the first two. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That night we got the first boss, got down to the second dude. I forgot his name already, but he's the guy that's like the Yogg fight. We got to go into his alternate dimension and kill the Yads and come out, and everybody else outside is just DPS and the guy. We struggle with that.
They love splitting raid. They love that.
They do love doing that.
The designers were like, hey, they seem to be really cohesive. Let's see if we can disrupt that even more.
Yeah. Let's split these guys up. These guys that have worked together and now need to, I mean, well, whatever. You still have to work together and you're still in the same vent space, I suppose. But that was chaotic and interesting. And there's also, I guess there's a bug with the first boss that have been plaguing some teams, and it happened to us. And we thought maybe it was right after you did a raid wide res. It just, all the timing got off, and it was, I guess it's a thing they're aware of. I don't know why they haven't hot fixed it. Seems like an easy thing to fix, but what do I know? But it's this crazy bug where nothing happens in the order or the timing that you're supposed to be paying attention to. So it's just utter chaos trying to do that. So you basically
on your toes.
Well, you basically just wipe until it resets, or wipe until it quits doing it. And that's what we did, like third or fourth try. And then when it did, we beat it, and that was great, and it felt good. And I got to say, though, I mean, having been away from it for a while and getting back in, and especially getting back in with a team that I know and people that are friends and stuff, there's a real intense satisfaction to get to feel that again. It reminds me of why that's probably my favorite part of the game, at least these days. I think my favorite part is new expansion and playing that content. I think that's my favorite thing in WoW. I think my second favorite thing is raiding. My least favorite thing is doing all the stuff you need to do to raid. That's the stuff I hate. And it's not, you know, I realize that sounds like, oh, well, what are you going to do, Scott? You're just going to jump straight from nothing to raiding in 2.5 seconds? That's just what you want to do? Well, no, but, you know, I look at the mounds of dailies. I look at and all my other opportunities to earn currency to go buy the gear I want, or get the gear to drop, or whatever, if that be LFR, if that be, you know, dungeons when you're sort of in the early goings. By the way, the drops and scenarios are so much better now that you can almost just do that to get to where you want to LFR. But at any rate, you know, the part I really want, the meat you want to eat, is the stuff of raiding, and it's a blast. And I love hanging out with those guys, so that went pretty well. I was terrible, though. I mean, my DPS sucked because I'm still the least geared of our team. But
yeah,
so still, but, yeah, it was all right. I contributed. I had fun. I laughed. You know, I shot stuff.
It would be nice if you could just go around and just offer people drinks and stuff like that. If you could just contribute just by being, you know, a helpful. Like, how you doing? Oh, no, it's really good DPS you're doing there. Mm-hmm. And actually, oh, watch out, fireball. And you got us both. Would you like a drink while I'm here?
Yeah, like a mage. A drink.
Yeah, exactly. Like a mage or like a warlock. You know, somebody who's kind of really useless, but would, you know, just be. It'd be I'd like it. It'd be fun.
That warlock we had.
I would like to play that cast.
We had a lock who's insane. His DPS makes everyone look like a joke. Mm. So I think warlocks are back, baby.
They are heavily back, and they should thank us, really, because what happens is they're like, you know, Blizzard's like, oh, man, Warlock's getting a lot of hate recently. We should probably buff them next patch. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, and then that's the thing is that we're just, you know, secretly we've all got Warlocks. We don't talk about them on the show, but we diss them and hope that Blizzard buffs them.
Of course.
So, yeah.
Diss and buff, diss and buff. And Dills easily are right up there in the top stuff, putting out 75,000 DPS or some crazy number. Compared to the rest of us anyway, and he was just killing us all. So Dills, I know you're not listening.
You guys. Oh, I hate it when you got someone in the raid who gets you killed.
Turned all red, blew up big, turned around and shot at us.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how that goes. What are you doing these days in the game? You mentioned you played a lot of Diablo, not much WoW time.
Yeah, not much WoW, really. I think I'm kind of mentally up to it now. Think I could probably go back in. I'm going to check my farm. I say, oh my. My carrots have grown. Fantastic.
Oh, finally.
You know, all the important things. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
Yeah.
Raiding, I think, is still, for me, time is just prohibitive of that. However, I can obviously exploit the fact that I'm the co-host on The Instance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know, maybe someone should get in touch, you know, UK friendly time. You know, maybe I'll jump on Earth and Ring and
People do that. They don't mind. They're happy to bring
I'll
you
wait
in
towards
there.
The end of the cycle, maybe.
Okay.
I don't want to jump in too soon. Well, actually, I guess we're end of cycle now.
Maybe
I should. Okay, I'll steal all the drops in. Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
cheers.
Thanks, guys. Ahead of time. All right, here's some news for you.
Big news of the week.
Big news.
News this week brought to you by Typefrag.com, the best Ventrilo service on Earth. We have a 400 man in our guild who's about to have a major anniversary. I think we're 6-year anniversary coming up, which is crazy. I know. It's amazing. All 11,000 of you now, whatever it is. Pretty excited about that. We'll do something special on the show, but that's coming up soon. And Typefrag will solve your vent problems. If you got to have a way to talk to your guildies, there's no better way. Go to typefrag.com and order today. Tell them we sent you. All right, moving on. There are no flying mounts for the Thunder Isle dailies area. And I don't mean stuff you can unlock and earn. I mean you cannot fly in this new
you
dailies.
You cannot fly.
You are done.
It's not allowed.
Yeah, you are BC level Kel'Thalas, freaking whatever the hell it was called, the island man. place.
Yeah, Ala Queldenas.
Thank you. Cannot fly. Blizzard responds to a good question about it. So they ask this. In spite of your firm belief that you feel flying mounts are detrimental to gameplay. I'm sorry. In spite of your firm belief that you feel flying mounts are detrimental to gameplay. And they said, no one ever said they're detrimental to gameplay or that they're being removed or that we hate flying mounts or any of the other things people have inferred for no good reason. What no. I said, I know.
No one ever said that. Hey, come on.
It's a little catty, but
it says. What are you talking about? What no one said that. No.
What I said was that experiencing a world directly from your character to the earth beneath it and approaching quest content is not served well by being able to lift off, set down wherever you like. In most cases, we've relegated non-flying to new characters experiencing expansion for the first time, and then sometime later give them a way to add their alts. Flying abilities in a quicker manner. In some cases, such as the Isle of Quel'Danis back in BC, and now with the 5.2 Thunder King Island, we've made a conscious effort to design a non-flying area to present that content in a different and, we believe, more intimate way. Ooh, more intimate way.
They can make it smaller.
Yeah, or they can wear...
We don't have to make as big a thing, and it's delicates that you wash separately to everything else.
Nicely put, though. That's a good point. That is probably a much smaller space than...
But that's the thing. It means they can be more creative with that space as well.
Yeah.
The problem is as anyone, when we did Burning Crusade, like those first... I remember the first Hellfire Zone and it taking hours and going through and that first burnt out, right. You know, Hellfire Orc area and having to, you know, set off flares and, you know, kill the Houndmaster and all of these things... and it was a real pain, you know, running through and doing all that. And then when you could fly through now as you can with flying, you literally just bloop, 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 just drop in, you know, pick up an item, set off a flare, shoot a guy, take off again. Yep. It takes a fraction of the time to the point where it doesn't feel like a challenge or a quest. It just feels like a slow sort of unnecessary nag that's stopping you getting where you want to be.
Right.
And it's, yes, it's very strange.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyway, it's going to be, I think, a good move. I mean, they've said in an earlier post, this is a blue post from some time ago, not too long, but maybe a few days before this one, says we firmly or pretty firmly believe that the questing experience is just wholly better when you cannot lift off and set down wherever you like, frog leaping from quest objective to quest objective. And that really sums up why I think I didn't enjoy Cataclysm as much as I should have. I never really connected with much of that content I think they meant me to, because I was literally just popping in, popping out, looking for dots on the map, landing there, searching it out, picking up again. No real danger to me to head back or for me to explore anything.
I'm all for at the end of a quest being given an easy way out of that questing area.
Agreed.
So, for example, when you fought your way through a cave and you get to the end of the cave, like in Diablo, you get the crystal, which will then restore you to the entrance. You know, something like that is great. And that should be in every area. And it should prompt you to travel all the way through a zone and an area, explore it. And then once you've explored it fully, instead of traipsing all the way back through, you should be able to then just, you know, zip out quickly and get onto the next, you know, bit of content.
It's a thing that it's a thing Guild Wars 2 did pretty well with the way that they put those portals everywhere. And I know that has its own kind of issues, but when you were encouraged to go to the furthest reaches of that place and discover new areas, but by doing that, you would reveal new quick travel points. And when you would do that, you would make it much easier that, like, well, I really came far out here, but now it's just really a click and I'm back to where I want to be. And I think that worked pretty well. Blizzard does this well with dungeons now. I remember that kind of switch over. I want to say it was Lich King that really started to do this. But previous to that, if you finished a dungeon, you would have to run all the way out of there. There was no... At the time, looking for group. You couldn't just LFG teleport back to Orgrimmar or whatever. You had to run to the end of that place and get out of there again. And it was usually way back at the entrance, wherever that may be. Then they started to introduce this thing where, like, a door would open or the cave would have a hole open up or a portal would appear. And now you can get out of there in a much quicker way. To me, that's a nice part of the reward of finishing the damn thing. You know, you finished it. Hey, how about you got some gold? You may have gotten a drop or two. And you know what else we're going to give you? Freaking fast taxi out of here. And I like that. I like it.
Let's do it. Should we do it?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's see. What else? Oh, some highlights from the 5.2 PTR official notes. These are from Blizzard. These are highlights, things that matter most maybe on this list. So we'll get through some of these and see what we think. New legendary item this time is a gem.
A meta gem, rather,
not a head enchant. So
it can still only go on helms, but it can only go on helms with meta slots.
Correct. That is correct.
You know, still legendary. That's interesting. A legendary gem. Mm. That's a new thing.
Yeah, it is. That's fancy. Not as cool, I think, as a weapon, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, though, it's got some, like, you know, effect that means your head's on fire or something like that. Mm. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'd like something flaming. Or maybe it turns you jade. Maybe because we're in Pandaria, you should be jade. Everything should be made of jade.
Jade forest, colored jade.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Just a jade statue. All your gear becomes green.
Yeah. Let's see.
You know, it's still epic, but it's green.
Purple green.
Yeah, purple green.
Yeah. Gurple. There you go.
Oh, wow.
Heroic Pandaria dungeons. Heroic Pandaria dungeons are now award 100 justice points per boss and gold drop skill based on a number of players. That's kind of cool if you're... Let me see. What was it dropping before for justice points? I don't even know.
Heroic ones, I'm not sure. I don't think it was 100.
They've just adjusted it up, it looks like. Missing Pandaria Season 2 Malevolent Gladiator PvP gear, blah, blah, blah. Can now be purchased with honor points instead of conquest points, so those of you in Arena will get all excited. So do that. Balance Feral, Windwalker, Retribution, Shadow Enhancement, Elemental now gain 25% of the bonus healing provided by PvP power. That was 0% before. PvP players or PvP, lovers, get your excitement level up. I still can't. Players in low-level battlegrounds, also speaking of PvP, will have their effective level raised to the maximum level allowed in that battleground bracket.
Whoa, that's cool. That's a big thing.
That's Guild Wars 2-like thing, right?
That's useful because it was previously, you know, it was a disincentive. Mm. You know, you were just dominating a battleground. You leveled up, and then all of a sudden you queue up again. You realize, oh, nuts, I'm the small fish in the big pond now.
Yep.
This isn't good. And all the skills and stuff you picked up along the way, just kind of you get whooped so hard that you think, well, I'm not going to go back there again. So I think this is a really good change. It's a good way to make it an even, you know, playing field. It's what people, you know, always after in PvP.
Mm-hmm. There are times I wish that PvP was a thing you could just wander into and be geared for. In other words, I know that Blizzard's made this like two-path progression system, PvE progression and PvP progression. I understand it's been around forever. They're not going to change it. But there are times I wish I could just walk in there and I would be, all my gear would just work the way it's intended to work. Equivalently for PvP, so it's still good stuff I have during the other way, or maybe not. Maybe I just walk in there and I am magically given good stuff, and I go in there and it's all just a skill game, which is where I feel like that ought to be, and it should be less about gear. Now, though, people who are gonna argue with me,
but Warcraft on the whole is all about gear, really. Skill can get you so far, but gear is this big crutch that just allows to account for lack of skill or latency or whatever it is that's holding you back. And the better your gear is, the worse everything else can be it skill or connection or graphics card or whatever. But definitely it's a weird thing with PvP and World of Warcraft, because in order to get good, you have to get the points you get from PvP, which means you have to fight people in PvP likely who already have the gear that you're trying to get. So you're already at a disadvantage and you're likely just going to lose. So you don't get as many points as you would get should you win. So you have this uphill battle to then get to a point where then you can compete. And it's a very strange kind of way of getting into it. But I mean, yeah, I think I'd quite like to see, you know, buffs, and like they've done with the challenge modes. Yeah, they can adjust item level. They can kind of bring you up to spec and to an equivalent power, and then just let you rock it out. Because at the top end, at the high end PvP level, that's all it is. They've all got the gear already. They're all as good as each other in terms of gear, and it comes down to skill. And it's a very cool element of the game.
Yeah.
But they just don't really have that in the lower levels.
Yep, totally agree. Also, this rated Battlegrounds now award conquest to the losing team based on their final score. So if the losing team loses, but it's a really close match, they could win up to 200 conquest points, which seems like a thing that should have always been there, but whatever.
Yeah, but that's brilliant. That's really good.
That's good. Less rage quits. Let's see. Staves and pole arms can be transmogrified to each other. So if you got a stave and you're like, I really like that guy's pole arm, I'm going to go buy that.
Do you often look at a guy's pole arm and think that you like that?
Yeah. You're thinking my little stave just doesn't hold up to his pole arm? Yeah.
Yeah. I got this baby little staff and I just look at it. It's all knotted and wooden. Yeah. And I look at this mighty, majestic pole arm.
Yeah.
And I want it to look like that. But well, now you can.
But does this mean, so sorry if I've missed this, but can mages run around with pole arms now? Or can they just run around with...
It could look like a pole arm.
That's the only way to do that, right? Yeah. Like, they can't actually have a pole arm. They have to make it look like one.
But I think basically what they're saying is that pole arms and staves look very similar. And honestly, no one really ever uses pole arms. Mm. Very few.
Right.
And there aren't that many different graphics either. Like, you know, you've got the old Molten Core one. What was the one that transformed? I can't remember what it's called now. You had like a shadow one and a lightning one.
It's
like a
big,
you know, trident type thing.
Yeah.
But there were some cool ones. But ultimately, you know, they looked similar, but they were never really distinguished. So I think it's a good sort of cosmetic change. Just opens up the doors for druids and warlocks and, I guess, mages and stuff who are using staves to try out a cooler-looking, more aggressive weapon.
Yeah. Or hunters. Oh, wait, not anymore. Never mind.
Not anymore. No, unfortunately not.
Jeez. You know, I know they weren't doing me any good, really, other than stats, but I just kind of miss having offhand weapons a little bit.
Yeah, the melee weapon, it would have been cool.
Just kind of miss it. We'll see. Maybe they'll put something back in eventually. Patch 5.5 Valor gear finally costs 50% less. I don't mean finally it costs less. I mean finally this is the last one. Cost 50% less, and patch 5.1 Valor gear now costs 25% less. So that makes sense. You put in the new stuff, you reduce the cost of the old stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Economics 101. All right. Good. I've been dying to get to this story.
Oh, this is everyone loves it.
A year ago, or 2 years ago, or three, whenever it was.
It was, I reckon, about 4 or 5 years ago now.
Was it now? Okay.
Yeah, about 4 years ago.
All right. There were plans laid by some Chinese entrepreneurs, I guess, or whoever did it over there. It's not a government-run thing. But to build a big, giant amusement park that just essentially is a huge ripoff of all the Blizzard properties. And at the time, the concept showed...
Alleged ripoff, what? Scott. Alleged. it's a proper ripoff.
It's very proper ripoff. They originally, when we saw the concept stuff back in the day, they originally showed Warcraft, StarCraft, and Diablo.
And this is
weird. They had to cut the budget.
I just think it's they're like real critiques. It's like they're like, well, Diablo, we like Diablo, but we're not that big a fan of the current direction the game's taken. And
that real money octonauts really soured us here.
Yeah, yeah. We obviously don't care much about, you know, intellectual property, but we do care about, you know, Diablo 3 and its online only mode. You know, it upsets me.
We had to let the director of that part of the park go. So he's working on other projects within China.
He's working on a new park now. It's good.
So somebody went there, actually visited this thing, which launched recently, I guess, or actually opened recently.
I think a few months ago. It seems fairly new. Yeah.
And they took pictures, tons of pictures, did a blog about it, wrote a bunch of stuff. Obviously, this is a podcast, and you cannot see photos on an audio podcast. But I'm going to post it in the chat room, so you guys in there who are listening live can check that out.
And equally, it'll be on the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll put it in the show notes. But there's some stuff I want to read from this as well. So anyway, just looking at a couple of these pictures, I mean, it's just blatantly, it's all, like, there's no, now
it's
we've
so
seen it.
Close. Yeah. It's so close. I mean, and even they've got a troll sign, like she's eating like drinking a bowl of something.
Yeah.
And it says, wow, in the World of Warcraft font.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But, and there's like, you know, the Horde symbol on weird Minotaurs, and you're just like, I'm pretty sure that's not a thing, but fair enough.
Yeah, but they get, I mean, the comment, it's funny because some of it is real authentic, and some of it is really weirdly not
authentic. It's weird, like, they've got Kil Jaeden here.
Yeah.
And he's just, but then he's like, looks like an American footballer, like, he looks like, I don't know what's going on there.
The Illidan is epic, dude.
The Illidan's brilliant, isn't it? It's like, you are not sunscreened. And it's like, you know, it's just this golden, bronzed, like, I don't know what's going on.
Look at
there.
His horns, they're all short, like Hellboy horns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he ripped them off because he didn't like being a demon anymore.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic piece of lore they introduced.
Yeah.
And then you've got like, oh, it's just, it's crazy. Like, there's, it's so close in so many ways. But then, like, they've got drakes, and the drakes just look pretty derpy.
Right.
They don't look like a, you know, it's like, oh, I'm a dragon. It's not quite, it's not quite as cool.
Yeah.
But it does, you know, it always raised the question before, like, why doesn't Blizzard do something like this?
Yeah. Well, before we answer that hard-hitting question, let's talk real quick about Audible.com. Love Audible.com, and I am excited about a book that I've been putting off because I've just had so much other stuff going on. But I had yet to read The Wise Man's Fear from the King Killer Chronicles, second book in the series by Patrick Rothfuss. I never say it right, but it doesn't matter. His writing is amazing. Who cares what his name is? Check out this clip right here.
Then, with a resigned look, he began to polish a section of the bar. After a moment, Bast leaned forward and squinted at some half-seen speck.
Narrated by Nick Podell. And I loved the first book so much, The Name of the Wind, that I could not, at the time, I couldn't wait to pick up the second one, and I waited too long, so now is my chance. It turns out you can actually get this, or any audiobook for free. It doesn't have to be fantasy. It doesn't have to be science fiction. It could be anything. You know, one of the 100,000 titles that they have available for you to consume at audible.com, and you can get it absolutely free, and it's simple. You go to audiblepodcast.com/wow. That's audiblepodcast.com/wow. Go there today and pick up this or any other book absolutely for free. I highly recommend them. I've been using them for years, and I don't want them to ever go away. That's audiblepodcast.com/wow. Do it today. Thanks, Audible.
You know, why don't we have a Blizzard amusement park? Because I'd go there.
Oh, I'd go there in a heartbeat. I kind of want to go here, honestly.
Oh, definitely. And the thing is, I always thought, because obviously I thought, well, this is completely, there's no way this can be legit.
Yeah.
Is like, you know, I thought it was going to be all kind of fallen down, lead-based paints. You know, you basically go there and die a little bit after. Or maybe during. But seeing, like, I saw some of the videos of some of the roller coasters,
mm-hmm.
For example, the Skyscraper, I think it's called,
mm-hmm.
which is, I guess, meant to be Protoss.
Yeah.
I don't quite know what it is, but you basically get lifted up and you're kind of, you're horizontal as opposed to vertical as you go along the coaster.
Yeah.
Looks amazing and looks of high quality, at least.
Yeah, they say some stuff in here that may be a little bit revealing, which we'll get to in a sec, but I did want to mention this on the StarCraft part of it. Well, okay, so they have two lands, and here's what they're called.
Hmm.
First one is called Terrain of Magic. And that's Warcraft world, basically.
Yeah.
And that's all this, and this is their description. With thousands of years of unstopped war, this place is forbidden to losers and cowards. We are looking forward to a hero to bring back peace with his sword. So that's pretty lousy. And then they have the area for StarCraft stuff called Universe of Starship.
Universe of Starship.
Yeah.
That's just exceptional.
It's fancy. And they really like the Protoss. Jeez Louise. The Protoss is that stuff. Yellow ships and.
Don't go around any stereotypes.
Yeah, of course not.
They do love the Protoss.
They say here, this is what the folks who visited said this. One of the most disturbing parts of the park was the general decay we witnessed. So this maybe addresses what you're saying.
Oh, nice.
It says, unnerving in a park opened only a hair shy of 2 months ago. Cracks in paint and rust on handrails made the attendants' habits of screaming goodbye as the roller coaster surged out of the gates even more terrifying. Why would you scream goodbye?
Goodbye!
That's weird. All right.
Fine. Make sure you've got a will. It's like, okay.
So they spent $30 million in U.S., the U.S. equivalent of $30 million on this project. Hmm. The entire thing is 600,000 square meters. There's a bunch of it that is not Blizzard-y ripoff at all.
Well, they've got a big monk mountain type thing. Like you go up into some proper feeling kind of Chinese mountain, like monastery type thing. It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Here's your other best quote of the day. Best translation. World Joyland. This is what this whole thing. Oh, by the way, the entire park called World Joyland. All right.
I know. And that's weird because it came on my credit card statement ages ago. And I was like, I don't remember that. What's that about? But it must have been obviously from this. Must have been.
Sure. This quote says, World Joyland will gather the world's best contents of digital culture, combine the newest digital entertainment and interactive technologies, particularly realize anime and game virtual sceneries. Innovate anime and game communication and display methods. Interpret the core value of digital culture, archive education during entertainment. I have a feeling, it sounds like the end of Dill's email this morning, but it's really weird. Like it's like Google Translate or something.
But equally, what's fantastic is like you go to places, they've got Silver Moon City actually in the park. And their description of Silver Moon City is on the sign. It's full of mysteries and unknown ancient legends in woods. Mm. Silver Moon City is still changing under endless exploration. Happiness index, 3 out of 5 stars. So they've basically given everything a happiness index.
Yeah.
Just so you get an idea on how happy am I going to be should I venture forth into said area. To put it into context, Thor's anger, which is like a big Protoss... I don't know if it was meant to be like a zealot.
Yeah, has a
happiness index of 5 out of 5 stars. So literally, you're going to go there and you're going to be fully happiness, or at least on the happiness index score.
As high as you can be there.
High as you can be there. It's going to be just
the fake truly, Blizzard Park.
Truly amazing.
I love this part amazing. Here. They recount their first ride. It says, our first ride was an exciting little number called Splash of Monster Blood. And they're not kidding about that splash. We'll just say this much. Trying to act cool by refusing to buy a sky blue poncho on your way in is a giant noob stamp in that park. So apparently everybody gets splashed with like monster blood.
Yeah. This is where you come down a giant log flume in between two Lich Kings looking like they're part of the Black Panthers. Mm-hmm. And It's just slightly, I don't know quite, because obviously, you know, the Lich King, the Lich King implies that there is the one, but there's two.
Yeah.
So Arthas is there just standing with his fist held aloft out in front of him twice, two giant golden statues, complete nonsense.
Right.
You know,
It's great.
I guess they would like, well, it costs $5 million each or $6 million if you just want two of the one. So, well, we just go for $6 million, and let's just get two of the one. Why not?
I love that. I love that they cut corners like that. Here's a video that tries to introduce the park and what it's all about. There's no English in this, but you get the idea of the fervor around this thing. So here's that.
Shenmi.
国际动漫游戏体验博览园，环球动漫新戏骨邀您穿越奇幻世界。Okay, best part is it's actual Blizzard music. That's actual stuff from Blizzard.
Why not? I'm amazed that we don't have like a Madonna song in there. Yep. Maybe some Elton John, Britney Spears.
Yep.
Just anyone who has intellectual property that they can take. I'm amazed that they haven't
done
it.
They just lifted it. And then my favorite other part of this video, visually, and again in the show notes, you'll see this, but they show, it's like a CGI camera, and you're flying through StarCraft land and then Warcraft land, and you're zipping around this big spire with a dragon flying around it. And then they have this lady who looks like Jaina Proudmoore.
Oh, hang on. Where's this?
Well, it's the same link. If you go to that, and it's the video at the bottom. She looks like Jaina Proudmoore, also looks like a nun on her head. She got a weird head cover, but the rest of her looks like Proudmoore. And she comes out.
The rest of her, so hang on. So not her head, but her body.
Her body.
She has the body of a woman.
She has the body of Jaina Proudmoore and the head of a nun. And she comes out with a sword that looks nothing like a Warcraft sword necessarily, but she comes out and does the whole holds it up quickly with like the zoom, like the sped up film.
They're doing after.
Exactly, literally doing it. Exactly. And wow. she even jams the sword into the earth and all these crystals fly up as if she's freeing what's her name from the ice. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous copyright infringement at the highest degree. It's fantastic.
It's just shameless though as well. There isn't any attempt to hide it.
Nope.
It's incredible.
There are attempts, but it's those kinds of attempts that are laughable. It's like, oh well, this.
But I think the attempts aren't actually attempts. I think that's just them not being quite good enough to do it true to the actual reality.
Which is why this is so great.
And what I would love though is I would love to see like a load of clips from like BlizzCon's gone by before anyone knew about this, where they'd gone across and just got all of the devs over there to say like, hi, I'm Chris Metzen and you're watching World of Joyland. Because, you know, they would have said that. They wouldn't have known. They would have thought it was like a fan blog or something like that.
Yep.
And that'd be brilliant. Yep. I'd love that. They put it on their advertising campaign. This is endorsed. It's like, yeah, there you go.
I mean, there's me. I mean, look, here's me doing this. This right here. Oh, what's Scott doing? Oh, he's playing Russell Brower music without express written permission, although I kind of have permission on that one. But you know what I'm saying? Here's us using bits and pieces occasionally from stuff, and I may play I don't know. I mean, here's people at Blizzard.
I'm Jeff Kaplan, and you're listening to The Instance.
You know, and there's Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris is a hunter.
I'm playing this stuff all the time. Is this the same as what they're doing? I don't think so.
Well, we're not charging people admission for this.
That's true. Good point. That's a good point.
And equally, we haven't released an advertising campaign where we do that. I think if you're using them in a fan purpose, I think we're fine.
Blizzard's always appreciated that, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas I think in this circumstance...
If you're building a $30 million apart...
Oh, come on, Mike Morheim, we're fans! We do this as a fan thing! You know, it's like, really? Well, I'm not sure if you did.
That was one of the most offensive Asian accents I've ever heard.
I tried my best. I tried to be authentic. Ooh. I thought if I did it, you know, hello, we're fans, Mr. Morheim. You know, it just wouldn't work quite as well.
Everybody wants me to do Ding Pong. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it today.
No, you just
I'm going to let Terpsters stand.
I'll let Terps take the hate mail this week.
That was a beast.
But it's fine. But again, I would love to go there. I would love to do
a whole video
tour of it and to show people. But then I am slightly worried that I would die.
Yeah, it does sound like from the description, some of this stuff is real rickety and it's only been open a couple of months and it just seems real shady. But part of me wants to just throw caution to the wind and just go and see. But and there were tons. They reported here tons of kids, just loads of kids at the park, just loving it. Screaming, running around, jumping on stuff. Just a whole generation of children. So
I don't like kids.
Yeah, you're not a big fan of the kids. Actually, that's not true. You like kids just fine.
Well, yeah, but not in my amusement park.
No, not
in my roller coasters.
How do you even stand Disney when you go?
Oh, well, that's okay because then I become a child. So
right.
It's fine. That's the magic of Disney.
Yeah.
So I'm just running around.
It's the most magic place on earth. So
losing my mind about how magical it all is.
I think what we can take away from this before we get to Town Crier is that Blizzard, there is no reason why you couldn't do at least a section at a Six Flags or at a Disney park or something. You should have a thing. You should have an attraction.
Well, the fact that Disney's doing Star Wars, and I mean, obviously they bought the license now, but they've been doing Star Wars for so long, and you got to feel like it's kind of out of touch. I feel almost like, you know, most kids are playing computer games. They're not watching films. They're not doing that as much. And I think, you know, that we should have a Minecraft world where it's all built out of blocks and see these huge Minecraft structures. Bit our blocks at Disneyland.
Be amazing.
And then we should have like a World of Warcraft place where we could go and they have the throws and throne. But I guess we've got that at BlizzCon. But maybe, you know, maybe we have Ironforge and you go in there and it's all, you know, fake rock, and then I go on a roller coaster where, you know, we're escaping from trogs and going through lava and flame. Yeah, all of those sort of things would be just be great fun. And there's so many locations and stories and characters and themes that you could create a phenomenal experience and theme it. And I think it would be just as fun for people who don't like World of Warcraft or don't know what it is, because it's high fantasy. It's, you know, it's fun. It's a transferable, enjoyable thing, I think.
And we'd all go. So
So yeah, and so literally, Blizzard, rather than taking these guys to court, because you can't, you've probably already tried, why not just put in 1 month's worth of takings and build your own? Why
one,
not build a
one
thing?
Measly one month of takings? Yeah. I like that you're calling them takings. That's great.
Yeah, just what are you, what's coming this week? Okay, well, we got a couple of hundred million for that.
Put up a mount. Just put up a mount and fund it.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't that be amazing? Yeah.
Fund the whole thing with a mount or a pet.
I'll be up for that.
Oh, let's do it. All right.
I'd buy it.
Town Crier.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
My estimation is that even Dills would buy that pet, and he's vehemently opposed to that, but he would help fund that. We got your calls and your emails, ladies and gentlemen. You can call us at 206-202-3-WOW, 206-202-3969, or you can email your attached MP3 calls or your emails to theinstance@gmail.com. We got a call to start with today, and it is this one right here.
Hey, Scott Dills and Terpster. This is Mellon from Duritan, U.S., and my question is something I wanted you guys maybe to talk about. Duritan on the Horde side is kind of a dead server. I can tell my raid group in itself has lost a bunch of people doing server transfers because it's the state of raiding is kind of having a problem. Wondering if you guys think that there's anything Blizzard can do about that, or what you think that our guild, any ideas that our guild can do to try to bring some raiders back onto the server. What do you think can be done about that? Thanks.
All right, so it's one of these things where Blizzard can't really control the ecosystem of a server because the players have autonomy. They can choose what they want to do. And
well, yeah, Blizzard, when they created the world, gave us free will.
Yeah.
And it's something that, you know, you're like, well, how does Blizzard let such horrible things happen? And it's players.
Right,
that
right. It's always the question, though, when something bad happens, you ask, how could a benevolent Blizzard allow this to happen?
Yeah. How could they let us just suffer so? I do what I'm meant to. I pay the subscription each month.
I live my life the way they've asked me to. I spend 10 hours a week raiding for this company. And what happens right when I need it the most?
Yeah. They're not there, exactly. So what can be done about dead server? That's a tricky one because obviously, Blizzard does have free transfers open from overpopulated servers to underpopulated servers, and they run those occasionally. And they also merge servers, so they can also, if they see, you know, oh, look at all those Alliance by themselves, and oh, look at all those Horde by themselves. Why don't we bring them together now? Now kiss, and that, you know, they do that. But then, in terms of like past that, it's not really again Blizzard's fault because they can't control it. Players can go where they want, and so sometimes it is worth looking, you know, and seeing if you can find a new home, you know, server transfers, and take it into your own hand. If it is affecting your enjoyment of the game, you've got to look at the cost of transferring a single character can be fairly high. But if you look at how much money you're spending each month to play the game, sometimes it's worth just you know, roll a new character for free on another realm, see how it is, give it a go. If you like it, maybe bring across your characters and your friends. I've done it quite a few times, actually, now. Transferred servers. And me and the guys I play with on the EU Realms, you know, we try to stick together and we move occasionally. And it'll be every now and then, it'll be a case of the people we were playing with mainly, some of them have stopped playing or we've decided to do something different. And then there's someone else that we know or another guild. And we're like, okay, well, let's go and move there. Or like this server's, you know, it's got a better balance, let's go there. You know, and so it's not the end of the world to swap and go to a new server, but it is quite different, obviously, because you do leave behind all your friends and family.
Yeah, it's hard. So
it's tough decision to make, but sometimes it's the tough decisions that define us as players.
Wow, I didn't expect you to get so profound. Deep, yeah. This is.
I know, it is. I'm quite deep at the moment.
Intense bit of business.
I feel like I should have a lower voice saying that, but yes.
I agree. yeah, what Terpster said, basically. I mean, we don't have this problem on our server, and we feel very fortunate, but we also know that our giant guild presence on our server actually has an adverse effect on Alliance numbers, and so we feel bad about that sometimes, not for very long,
and then we go and take over Stormwind. But yeah, you know, it is what it is.
Once you start the ball rolling and somebody starts leaving and then another person leaves and then pretty soon server transfers are kind of the norm on your server or on at least on your faction, It's kind of a hard thing to stop, and sometimes the best way to do it is you can't lick them, so join them and just join them, you know? Go over to the more populated place where everyone is. Now, I realize when I say that means, you know, oh, well, that's going to cost me $25 or that's going to be money I didn't mean to spend. I'm already spending monthly on this. I can't afford it or whatever. Those are definitely issues to be concerned with. But also, Blizzard occasionally says, hey, we're offering free transfers from such and such to what's a what. And the problem is with that is it's usually not your server that you can get freely transferred from. It's people being offered to freely transfer to yours. But I've seen that significantly alter the constitution of a server when Blizzard offers one of those free transfers. Like a server everybody thought was dead is suddenly teeming with people because Blizzard gave everybody that was struggling with their overpopulated servers a way to go help this one. So
exactly. It only takes one big guild as well to move, and that will transform your server. If you've got one big serious guild, you know, just 100 members strong, for example, that's enough to just run that whole economy, to make it a vibrant place to be, gives people a place to go. And then as that guild will naturally fragment and become different guilds, you know, and more people join, it's a very interesting thing to see. I can't wait in the future. I always imagine that at some point, we're going to be able to read about it, and they're going to be Blizzard are going to write books about the magic of Warcraft and how, you know, player movements and all of the things we've kind of learned about human behavior through the game.
Yeah.
You know, they can't really talk about it now because, you know, the game's still going really strong.
Mm-hmm.
But I think down the line, I think that'd be a fantastic book to read.
Oh, the data they must have on just not human behavior, but.
Oh, their chat logs. Statistical. They must have on me.
It must be insane. Yeah.
They could get any figure of money from me that they want just with the chat logs they have alone. Yep. It's incredible the amount of information they must have.
Mm. All the times that you made racial epithets through your chat.
Exactly. And in all fairness, I honestly thought that he was a woman. So.
Look, Jay Wilson doesn't need you piling on, all right?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
All right. Let's see. Got an email here. This is from Pixie Bomb, level 85 priest on Kill Jaden Alliance. Hey guys, was playing WoW tonight and I looked at my real ID friends list and noticed that it said that one of my real ID contacts hasn't logged into the game in 43 years.
Wow.
Something tells me this isn't quite accurate. I'm not raging in anger or wallowing in sadness over this glitch. Just found it interesting. I'm also wondering where my 40 other feats of strength for anniversaries are. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Pixel Bomb. I heard of this bug. Others have seen it. I've not seen it, but it seems to be people who have not been in quite a while, and suddenly their names are shown up as being years out of BattleNet, which doesn't make sense.
43 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
It's a very long time.
So in 1969, that guy played his last game.
That's the last time he logged in onto BattleNet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, admittedly, he was pioneering the internet at the time, so you know, you can't expect him to be, you know, too forthcoming after that.
Well, he would lay the groundwork that would be so important for us today.
Yeah, but you know, hat off to them. You know, good work. Thank you.
Weird glitch, though.
It is. I'm excited to see glitches like this, though, because this means that there's. I always like Apple have this weird thing with when the new year came along. There was another weird bug with like reminders and alarms not going off.
Right.
And they're like, oh, yeah, it's because of the, you know, it's a leap year, or it wasn't a leap year, or it's just a new year, or we honestly thought the world was going to end in 2012, so we didn't bother to fix it.
We didn't bother.
I'm loving these sort of like these little integer differences somewhere that just affect numbers so hugely or just how something works. I always find it very interesting. So 43 years.
Wow. I worked for a company for a company in 99-2000 when the big, like,
Millennium bug thing
happened, or was supposed to happen, and
computers will think it's Victorian time and turn to steam. They'd be like, "What?"
That's kind of what happened. I mean, that's kind of what people were saying. It was that ridiculous. And I was working for a company at the time where we were scrambling to be prepared for it because of the kind of data we worked in and stuff, and just went crazy.
I would love to see like a real high end action film. Like an apocalyptic film where they're like preparing for the like, and I just love to see like the scientist at the beginning of the film, he's just drinking some coffee, just typing some numbers, and suddenly he like pulls his glasses off and he's quivering, he can't quite comprehend it. He picks up the phone and he can't make a connection. He's trying to warn the world.
Yeah.
He's just realized that when it goes from 99 to 00, that could be any time at all. So, yeah, I'm not sure if that ever was a big deal. But I know that, you know, people bought a lot of rice and tinned goods just in case.
Mm-hmm. Of course, that's what you need. They did. My neighbors did. I had a guy built a like a shed bomb shelter kind of thing with that was lined with steel something something. I don't remember what the deal was. Yeah, there were people flipping out about that. The day came, the day went, and everything was fine. It was no big. There were a few glitches, but
and 2012, you know, it was all these things. It's brilliant.
Love it. It's just human beings tripping over themselves like idiots. Next one. Final email. Got one from Schlomer. No.
Schulmer.
Schulmer. Oh, he wrote it out there. Yeah. Probably got to read that.
Schulmer? Schulmer. Because that's how it is actually written, but it's actually pronounced Schulmer.
Schulmer. All right.
Because apparently you don't have to pronounce words how they're spelled anymore.
Very odd. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Welcome to the new future. Hey, when Scott sometimes, and sometimes Terpster, when you say chat room or let me check the chat room, what do you mean? Do you mean the chat room on Extra Life under the instance? Thanks. No, I mean the one on frogpants.com. Actually, you can get to it through the instance.net. But this is an important time or a moment for me to be able to tell people at home who always wonder, what are we talking about with this live chat room? Who happened to be with us here today? Every time we record a show, we open it up to a live stream, and it's just simple video of me sitting here like a dope and Terpster on audio, and also there's a shoutcast stream. If you follow it on Twitter, the instance dot or sorry instance show on Twitter, that will tell you whenever we go live. There's also a calendar up on the frogpants.com site, and it's easy. All the stuff is there that you'd want, like the IRC stuff. There's a web client, or you can run your own IRC chat thing if you want. And you can listen to it mobily on the Shoutcast stream, whatever you want. So, yes, there is a live chat room, and they hang out in here, and they say terrible, terrible things. No, they don't. They're very nice. We love them all. And they're here for most shows. So, yeah, so that's what that is, Schulmer. So check that out.
Schulmer.
I recommend the Twitter following. That'll definitely get you what you need. Let us move on to, I don't know, one of these.
The Drop of the Week.
Drop of the Week this week brought to you by Guild Launch at guildlaunch.com. Check them out. 40,000 WoW guilds. Cannot be wrong. I'm telling you right now. Go to guildlaunch.com today and start your awesome guild site. If you use the code THEINSTANCE, you'll get a free month over there at guildlaunch.com. Awesome dev interview, dev water cooler interview thing. You know, the post they do. About how they tune encounters in raids and beyond. I'm not going to read a ton of it, but it's really well worth the read. I love it when they do stuff like this. It's great. Especially I like the bits about differences between exploiting mechanics, then when players do that, versus what they call creative solutions to encounters, and what the difference is, kind of the fine line between them. Also, they talk about the negative cost to any change they make outside of glaring bugs. So if they see an encounter and they're like, oh, that's a horrible bug, that's an easy choice, and that's a win-win for everybody. But if they see an encounter and think, you know, maybe kiting him wasn't the right way to handle this because the room is shaped funny, so we're going to add extra room, or we're going to kite him in this direction, or we're going to create a mechanic that forces a player to do this. They say no matter how smart or awesome those changes are, there is always a negative cost to them. There's always going to be somebody dinged by making changes like that, which really, I thought, opened a window into just the mindset of making changes to video games at all. Like, why don't we see more dynamic changes to the world? Well, because they have major impacts on the way people play, and you can really screw people up and change the way, you know, good, loyal, paying players, you know, you change what they expect. And that can be a very negative thing. So it's just, it's really, really good, I thought. And worth reading. We'll link it in the show notes. So go check it out.
Check it out.
Check it out, baby.
Check it out.
Forgot to mention earlier, before we do this contest, I want to thank DoghouseSystems.com, who, so I launched Frog Pants TV, which is this short little video thing I do weekly now. And episode 2 will be up Monday. Episode 1 aired on last Monday. And when I'm playing video games on that show, people always ask, well, what are you playing that on? And the answer is a doghouse system. I love mine. I freaking want to go over and have sex with it when we're done here, but I can't because that would be wrong. So I won't. Mm. I'll just go.
On many levels.
I'll go
Plus,
hug it.
It's not a sustainable relationship.
No,
you know?
No.
You're going to end up, you know, overheating that thing.
Right. And nobody wants that because then I can't play the games on there.
And you burn your wang.
Yeah.
So,
right. So, like for our next episode, we're going to be playing, I think the request, somebody had a request to play Don't Starve, which I think you're familiar
Don't
with
that Starve game. Don't Starve is very, very good.
Yeah,
very
it seems
good.
Pretty awesome. It's those Mark of the Ninja guys did it, and I like what I see so far. But anyway, play that on there, capture it on there, runs great, beautiful machine. You can get yours today with double the memory. If you only wanted, you know, 4 gig, you'll get 8. I mean, imagine a world where you get double the memory for free. Well, here it is, right here and now. Use the code Henry at checkout at doghousesystems.com. All right, let's do a quick contest. I am happy to announce, after much asking and requesting, hold on, I got some music for this, that the Obey Henry stickers are back. Henry being my pet in Warcraft, who kind of is a celebrity in his own right and way cooler than me. That I'll ever be. A couple of years ago at BlizzCon, we introduced these Obey Henry stickers and passed them around, and they were kind of a big hit, and people put them in strange places, and Kat Hunter put them on her clipboard while she was on the TV, and other people put them in, you know, funky places. They've been all over the world. They've been in Afghanistan. They've been on giant warships in the Gulf. Yeah, is it just the Gulf? Yeah. They've been everywhere. They've been on sets of famous movies. They've been on cameras while famous actors are in front of them, and the cameraman, who's a fan of the show, would stick it on the camera and they'd send me the pictures of these things. Well, your long national nightmare is over. The wait is over. You can get Obey Henry stickers again. So I'm going to do a little contest here. It's as simple as this. You go to theinstance.net, our website. It's also at frogpants.com, either one, and click on the store link at the top of the page. If you buy a pack of these stickers, which right now are only 10 bucks, there's 50 stickers per pack, so it's a good deal, lots of stickers, 2 by 3 inches. If you buy that box of sticker or that pack of stickers for 10 bucks, you will be entered to win, if you order between now and our next episode, a 20 by 30 inch print of your choice from that same store. So if you see something there you like, something, you know, game related, there's all sorts of stuff in there. You see one you like, you get it at the maximum size, 20 by 30, sent to you absolutely free. That's like a 25 plus shipping dollar value. So it's a good deal. So right on the heels of that signed collector's edition giveaway we did last week, we do this. Amazing. Amazing. So go do that. So for 10, basically, you know, you enter for 10 bucks. That's really what this contest is. But you'll get those stickers, and those, again, will ship anywhere, and you're entered to win one of these prints. So it's up to you which one you want. You can go check that out. Theinstance.net. Click on store. And you're golden. It's the very first thing that pops up. That's it. Let's do, you want to do iTunes shout-outs? Why not?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about Britain, because I'm late here with mine.
In the UK, we've got three lovely ones. We've got one from Dig Davey, Flip211, and Luke Anderson.
Oh.
Mr. Anderson.
I just watched that.
What good is that podcast if you have no ears? Whoa, got no ears.
Whoa, man. Yeah. I watched that the other day. It's still great.
Is it?
Oh,
cool.
I'm not going to say a bad thing about the first Matrix movie. That movie still holds up and is pretty awesome. Can't say that for the sequels. I want to thank Alexis Gonzalez Lopez, who says rock on. Also got one from G Chess, the Iron Enforcer, XLXEMOLXLX. And wow. Ian Peterson, Moose Meat 16. The list goes on. You guys are awesome. And I don't say this enough, but you guys are always putting us in the top one or two spots in the video game category just about every week. Like right now, under top podcasts, we are number one in that gaming category.
Ooh.
Number one to us. And there's great people on that list, people I listen to who I think are fantastic. And so it is an honor that you guys even put us near these people. And having us up at number one, the number one spot, just makes me want to lick the side of your face repeatedly. So,
wow.
Big thanks for that.
I'm just happy with a high five. But yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Indeed. So thank you for that, everybody. We really, really appreciate it as always. What else? Oh, you can get our t-shirt, by the way, at /loot.com. I always forget to mention that. If you want to get an Instance t-shirt, they are available now at /loot.com. /loot. Special thanks this week goes to listeners at gametimezone.com. You can use Instance as your code for 5% off there. Also, Metagame Clothing, sponsoring your favorite League of Legends and esports pros, made for gamers everywhere. Check out their latest apparel at metagameclothing.com. That's metagameclothing.com. All right. Should we get out of here? We done? I think we're done.
Let's do this.
I still feel like there's something I was supposed to say. Crap. There was
something. I love you too, Scott.
Well, I always like it when Terpster is on the show after a break or if he's sick or something, and it always makes me warm and fuzzy. But that is not to say we don't miss Dill, so we do. He'll be back next time, or should be. This whole thing's my fault that we delayed a day anyway, but he would have been on here yesterday. But we'll be back next week. Brand new show. Brand new stuff to talk about. I hope 2013's treating everybody well. Terpster, do you have anything you'd like to pimp, promote, exploit?
Nope.
Nothing?
Nope. I'm good.
You're good. You've got nothing to promote. There's no Movielicious anymore.
Nope.
Hypothetical Help is in some kind of weird hiatus.
Yeah.
People ask about that all the time. It's because our schedules blow right now, guys. We'll see how things
honestly
go. But
I have zero time.
You really don't.
0 hours in the day.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Terpster has established himself as one of the busiest people I work with. So,
which is great. Yeah. Which is great. I learned from the best, Mr. Scott Johnson.
Oh, of course. You've learned.
Oh, hang on. I do have one thing, actually.
Oh, this just in.
I just broke 30,000 Twitter followers.
Oh,
Mr. Johnson.
Shut up.
First thing, you sent me this, and I didn't even know how. I was like, oh, man, this is crazy.
Yeah.
So,
you're, and this is not, I don't want to diminish where these are coming from.
But I'm going to diminish it straight away.
But let's just say
there's a halo effect from the old Yogg's cast.
Right.
So, yeah.
Which is great. 4, there's nothing wrong with that.
4,000 behind you, Scott. I'm coming for you.
Okay. Now. You're creeping right up my arse, which I'm.
Yeah, I'm going to change my profile to be like, you know, follow me for a job at the Yogg's cast.
Just want to thank my Twitter followers by saying quantity versus quality. That's all I want to say.
yeah.
Just kidding. I think that's great. Don't forget, check out our musical genius man who makes our theme music, Matthew Oxley at MatthewOxley.com. Thanks to Paul Swickard, our intern who does our show notes, does a fantastic job. Forum show notes, archives, and more can be found at theinstance.net. We're on Twitter at Instance Show. I'm at Scott Johnson. Dills is at Willie Dills. You can find Terpster at the_T.
Don't need to.
I don't want to help boost it. Oh, because it'll be fine without it.
Yeah,
I get you.
Fine, yeah.
Facebook.com/theinstance on Facebook. You can find more great shows just like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, and for Terpster. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
business venture runs afoul of regulators. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Since the defeat of Deathwing and the escalating conflict in Pandaria, the desert kingdom of Uldum has fallen on hard times. Market quarters once filled with tourists and adventurers now stand vacant, and the proud Romkahen tribe has seen unemployment soar. In an effort to get people back to work, a leading Romkahen businessman recently started a company specializing in archaeological tourism. The business plan is based on the franchise model, with each owner-operator both running tours and growing the business by recruiting new entrepreneurs into the firm. Because the goal is to help the Romkahen find their way back to prosperity, the owner has chosen to call the company Romway. But the way to prosperity is fraught with obstacles, or in this case, regulators. The Azerothian Trade Commission has denied the firm a license to operate, saying that the Uldum tourism market is likely to remain depressed for some time to come. As a result, the commission believes that the vast majority of Romway employees' income would have to come from franchise fees paid by new people recruited into the company. A hearing has been scheduled, and it remains to be seen whether Romway can disprove the suspicion that it is a pyramid scheme. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Revan Geek and Noggin Fogger Elixir present Real Azerothian Heroes.
Real Azerothian Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Where'd Everybody Go?
Mr. Where'd Everybody Go?
You finally got the eye level for LFR and jumped right in. You could have taken the time to read a guide, but
ain't nobody got time for that.
You've hit a few bumps going in blind, but you've made it all the way to a dragon named Elagon, and you're gonna punch him right in his transparent face.
Ah, we'll smoke you!
You've got your rotation going. There's a lot going on. And then you realize that everyone else is gone. And then suddenly, no floor.
Wally Coyote!
So crack open a nice cold Noggin Fogger Elixir, you lean, mean, green, no directions have been seen as you plummet right off the screen, Raider. You might think LFR is easy sauce. Finish it on the way down.
Mr. Weird, everybody go!
Follow me on Twitter at RevanGeek, hear old episodes at RevanGeek.blogspot.com, and please check out my new podcast, I Remembered It Better, at IRIBetter.com.
Ready, aim, what?
This is Hunter Talk. I am Johnny Feisty, the hunting hunter, with tips to make your hunter hunterific. This week's topic is great hunters in WoW history. Joining me this week is my companion and co-host, Flappy the Dragonhawk. This week, Flappy suggested that we pay a long overdue tribute to some of the great hunters in Azeroth's history. There have been many great hunters in the realm of hunting. Hey, Flappy, where's that list you prepared? It's what? Oh, right here. There have been many great hunters from both Alliance and Horde, from human to dwarf, from orc to... How come blood elves aren't on this list? Flappy?
Mm-hmm.
Why is Uther the Lightbringer on here? Well, duh, but Uther is great, mm-hmm. but he's not a hunter. Oh, hilarious. Thanks a lot, Flappy. Okay, thanks for listening to Hunter Talk. If anybody would like to suggest a new co-host, I'm open to suggestions. Big ups to Flappy.
J-O-H-N-N-Y-F-E-I-S-T-Y. Because he likes you.
Hey, Jules.
Hey, Rem.
We're the WoW Podcast, all about the WoW player. And we're here to help you with your problems, too. This week on Torn Think Tank.
A husband whose wife wants him to quit WoW. So you're giving that up for what? For her happiness? But what does she gain from telling you you can't play the game because I'll be happier if you don't play the game? Is she gaining the fact that she gets more of your attention because she wants that?
She won't get it.
Right. So, I need it. I think I just need to advise you, Chris, is that you have to ask her, if I quit the game, what does that give you? We have some fun getting the new player perspective in an interview with Rem's mom.
Now, who do you like better? You like the gnomes or the goblins?
I haven't taken time to figure out which is better because I'm too busy trying not to fall off the barge and
drown. Do you know the difference between the two?
No, not really.
Like if I asked you which one was a goblin, if I showed you a picture, you wouldn't be able to pick it out?
Probably not.
I mean, you can't just go by, you know, what you heard in fairy tales, what a goblin is?
No.
It's green, big ears.
I don't remember ever telling you a fairy tale about goblins.
Well, you don't ever remember telling me a fairy tale, period.
I used to read to you.
That's enough.
If you want some sound advice,
come be a part of the Moo Crew and download Torrent Think Tank on iTunes or Stitcher. You can also visit our website at torrentthinktank.com.
Thanks for listening, and until next time, slash moo, everybody.
Slash moo.
Welcome back to Ancestral Elements. Mushi here, helping you wade through the waters of Restoration Shaman. This week we'll move into our Tier 3 talent choices. Start with the brief overview and tie it all into Resto. Our first talent, called the Elements, allows us to immediately finish the remaining cooldown on the following totems: Earthbind and Earthgrab, Tremor, Capacitor, Grounding, Healing Stream, and Stolen Bulwark. This cooldown reset gives us a big boost to our utility and control. And as a healer, the reset on Healing Stream and Stone Bulwark allows us to further increase our output while mitigating additional damage nicely. Totemic Restoration rewards us for pulling our totems early by reducing their remaining cooldowns, making it a solid choice to pair with heavy use of Totemic Recall. Here's a quick example. Cast Spirit Link Totem for quick raid health redistribution, then immediately cast Totemic Recall to cut the cooldown in half. If you don't need the damage reduction aspect of the totem.
Welcome to another edition of Science of Warcraft. This week, zombies and the undead. From what I have researched, there are several different possibilities to produce zombie-like behavior in people. Anything from viruses, parasites, and more infamously, consuming bath salts, can produce forms of insanity that resemble zombie-like behavior. But they are not truly undead. For that, I found the most likely method is to use nanomachines. Often cited in science fiction for both good and ill, nanomachines do have the possibility to revive somebody from the grave. The biggest difficulty is reviving brain tissue. If done right, nanomachines can be used instead of brain tissue to repair or bridge neural pathways. As you expect, the more repair to one's body is needed, the more nanomachines would be needed. If the Curse of Undeath is similar in effect, that would explain why there are different types of undead in Azeroth. Some revived souls simply need more nanomachines or dark magic than others. Thanks for listening. Always remember that the world has much more depth than you realize. Please send any comments or suggestions to scienceofwarcraft@gmail.com.
What's up, guys? This is Kephis, your friendly neighborhood monk. And on this week's Mod Minute, we're taking a look at Battle Pet Binds. I really like this mod because it fixes a problem I've had with pet battles since they've been introduced, and that's the key bindings. Normally, there are key bindings for your pet's three abilities, and an extra one for the pet selection menu. These are the same key binds as your main action bar. Battle Pet Binds improves on this by allowing you to set key binds for pet battles while not affecting your normal key binds. On top of that, you will be able to set keybinds for forfeiting, passing your turn, and selecting a specific pet. This allows you to choose how you control your pet battles, and even though it may seem like a small thing to some, I feel like it improves on the system overall. You can find Battle Pet Binds on Curse. You can follow me on Twitter at TheKephis, and you can learn more about Mod Minute by heading over to modminute.blogspot.com. This is Kephis. Until next time.
Welcome, students, to Monk Meditation. My name is Chai T in AIE. Each lesson will provide further insight into being a well-rounded monk. This week's lesson, Tier 15 for Windwalkers. While a large number of guilds are still working on Tier 14, the new set bonuses for Tier 15 have been unveiled. Keep in mind that these are still on the PTR test realm, so there may be adjustments made to this before they go live. The two-piece bonus gives a 15% chance when dealing damage with abilities to spawn an energy sphere near you that will grant 10 energy when you walk over it. The four-piece bonus gives a 10% chance to gain an additional charge of Tiger Eye Brew when you would normally get one. Together, these bonuses should give a more sustained stream of damage. That concludes this lesson. For feedback or lesson suggestions, you can reach me in-game or on Twitter at WowMonk.
All
Luja the Mage here, collecting pets and taking names. Part 4 of Raiding with Leashes takes us to the floating citadel of Naxxramas. The pets here are tucked away deep inside their respective wings. How deep? Well, 2/3 of them are at the end. Nice. I found this place to be laughably easy if you're level capped and bring a friend along who is above level 85, because some of these bosses still have a little bite. So, who are we looking for? Well, head on over to the Plague Quarter. There, you'll have to kill all the big mean nasties to get to Loetheb. There, you have a chance to get the Fungal Abomination. Up next is the Arachnid Wing, and yep, we're heading right to the end. Maxina, the Spider Queen, has the giant bone spider in her clutches. Finally, let's head on over to the Construct Quarter. Don't worry, we don't have to get to the end of this place. Just to the second boss, Gluth, who somewhat reluctantly drops the Stitch Pup. And that's it. All three of these pets are undead and totally awesome looking. Once you get them, and the other raid pets, you should be awarded your very own Mr. Bigglesworth, an undead kitty. Yay! 4 raids, 13 pets, and now you're totally awesome. Like me! If you like this segment, or you want to tell me how awesome I am, you can visit the website at aludraspets.com. And for more Battle Pet information, head on over to battlepet.net.
Greetings, and welcome to Slash Grants. I'm your host, Yifeng G4. I'm here to talk to you about the fun achievements you can earn in the World of Warcraft.
Today we're going for 10 points. If you recall, back in August, I talked about Ghosts in the Dark, which was an achievement only for the Alliance, and I said I would talk about the Horde equivalent. Today, we're going to get Joyride. You need to ride the full length of the Rocket Way over in Ashara. The Rocket Way is located in the most northern point of Ashara. If you look at the map, you'll see a flight point up at the top. You want to go there. It's about 6620 to be exact. And you'll see a tower there with some goblins on it. You can either fly up to the top of the tower or take the elevator on the side. And you get to talk to the rocket jockey. You talk to him and you pick the fourth choice he has, which is the southern Rocket Way area. And you just do that, and you'll ride the full length of the Rocket Way all the way back to the most southern part of Ashara, and you'll get 10 points. And you'll also get to see the sights of Ashara, which is kind of nice. You know, it's a fun ride. I must say, this achievement, the equivalent for the Alliance, not as fun as this one. So, we got that going. Thanks.
You can find me on the web at slashgrats.com, where you can catch up on these segments and even submit your own screenshot for the world to see. If you have some feedback, email me at feedback@slashgrats.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm EFinkG4. See you next week.
Hi, and welcome to Carlcraft. My name is Druid, and this is my new segment in which I focus on the World of Warcraft trading card game and how us WoW players can take our favourite MMO into the tabletop. A regular game of the WoW TCG involves two players facing off, each with a deck of around 60 cards built around a specific hero card. This hero has a class like a Hunter or a Death Knight. The aim of the game is to reduce your opponent's health to zero. A deck is constructed with a mix of ability, equipment, ally and quest cards. Over the coming weeks, I'll talk about each card type in detail and how to best use them. A great place that you can start with WoW TCG are the Class Starter decks, which can be picked up for around £9 or $15 and contain a pre-built 60-card deck and hero. These are balanced enough that two players using two starter decks will get a good length game trying out all of the different card types. Next time, I'll cover the basics of each card type and how to best use them. If you want to discuss anything WoW or WoW TCG, you can find me on Twitter as @druid, that's @druyrd. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you next time.
And welcome to Ask Miss Mulgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is rather long-winded, but I'll read it anyway. Dear Miss Mulgra, I am excited to move to Orgrimmar to open my new cooking gadget store. My question is there a welcome wagon? You see, I don't know anyone there, and I am really looking forward to making new friends in a much warmer climate. Dunmore can be awfully cold and snowy. Also, are the ceilings high in Orgrimmar? And do you have a ladder I could borrow? Well, Orgrimmar has no welcome wagon. However, for you, we will create one. Just look for the wagon with the cauldron of boiling water in the back. The cauldron is for testing your kitchen gadgets. Yes. I am Miss Mulgra, and that is my advice. Hakamagosh. Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.